Welcome to the Health Ranger Report on Brighteon.tv. Our guest today is James Roguski, who I've been wanting to interview for quite some time. He's got a great Substack page, and he just did an article called 3 Days That Will Live in Infamy, and he's comparing the WHO pandemic treaty meetings to the Pearl Harbor attack on the United States. I don't know how many decades ago, many years ago, 1941. I guess that would be 81 years, yes. So anyway, he joins us to talk about this and how we're all about to be enslaved under global tyrannical WHO orders that every nation must apparently obey without hesitation, about vaccines, lockdowns, surveillance, tracking you when you travel, and restricting your travel based on your vaccination status. So this is going to be a fascinating interview if you care about freedom versus fascism. You'll want to listen in. Stay with us. We'll be right back with James Roguski. All right. Welcome, everybody. Mike Adams here of Brighteon.com with, I think, a really fantastic guest, a first-time guest. We probably should have had him on before because he's so informed. He's got such great analysis of what's going on today. His name is James Roguski, and he's got a Substack page that is, well, jamesroguski.substack.com. He's also got Screw the Who. .com, the WHO being the WHO, screwthewho.com. And he joins us today to talk about the WHO's new pandemic treaty and so much more. Mr. Roguski, it's an honor to have you on. Thank you for all your work and welcome to the show.
Well, Mike, the honor is mine, as I said before, and this is a pleasure. There's so much information about this. What I try to do is just do all the boring digging and try to turn it into English. So where do you want to start?
Well, first of all, I just want to say I love your work on Substack, and you and a couple of other people inspired me, and I actually set up, I launched a Substack page today, in fact, so I'm there now, and I believe I added you as my first or second recommended site, so there we go. So I appreciate you. Give us the big picture. First, to start with, how much trouble are we in if we don't stop the global health fascism that's underway?
Well, if you want global health fascism, you know, things are looking really grand. If you're opposed to that, you better get off your couch and get a move along. And I'll blow everybody's mind right now. Give me a call. My phone number is 310-619-3055. Text me, WhatsApp, Signal, Telegram, whatever. I've met some of the most wonderful people. I am that serious about this, if that tells you anything. It maybe isn't imminent in the sense that, you know, some of these bureaucratic things take time, but in another sense, it's already upon us, because what they're really doing is setting up a framework, and everybody already knows the framework, and crazy young leaders that have been put into position all over the world, whether it's California, New York, South Africa, Canada. Australia, Canada, wherever. Okay. They're busy implementing before the treaties put together and signed. They all know where these, you know, two trains are headed, and they're implementing some of the craziest stuff. And so this is a local battle as well.
All right. So tell us about the crazy stuff. Now, remember, we interviewed Dr. Francis Boyle maybe 2 weeks ago, and he told us about how horrified he was of the WHO pandemic treaty, but you mentioned to me just before we started here, there's something else that may be a bigger threat as well. So clue us in on what's on your radar here.
I speak regularly with Dr. Boyle. Anytime I get any information, he's the first one on my list that I send it to. So thank you, Professor Boyle, and thank you for interviewing him. Here's what happens. There's only so much time to talk about all these different things. And I'll try to give a visual analogy, okay? There's at least two tracks that the WHO is running on trying to change international law. Now, one of the tracks is analogous to a Japanese bullet train. And the reason for that is we're already, and all the other member nations of the WHO are already parties to, we've already signed on to, the international health regulations, which are quite frankly misnamed. I don't call them the international health regulations anymore. They are actually the international surveillance regulations, because if you read them, they're not about health. You know about health. They got nothing to do with that. They're all about surveillance and monitoring and reporting and the amendments and all of the words involved are very simply, on some level, a reasonable system to alert the world if there's a problem. Okay, if somebody on either side bombed, you know, a nuclear power plant in the Ukraine, you know, I think an alert should go out. Okay, and so it has its place, but they have figured out that the path is very, very slippery to amend it and use that legal structure to gain more power. And so in order to amend the international surveillance regulations, all that's needed is a majority vote or plus one of the World Health Assembly, which meets every May. Now, there's 194 nations, so 97 is half of that. One plus that is 98. So if they can coerce 98 nations to say yes, changes to the international surveillance regulations would be adopted. And so this, the other reason that I'm really concerned about this particular aspect is they're keeping it really, really secret. They're busy talking about the treaty, but the amendments to the international health regulations are just under lock and key. They may at some point, you know, I checked just before we came on, you know, they hadn't posted anything anywhere. We do know that now it's actually 16 nations. They had reported earlier that 14 nations had submitted proposed amendments. Another two have been added, and those two being Malaysia and the Republic of Korea. And all told, they've only said which articles they wanted to amend. There are 66 articles in the regulations, and they wanted to amend at least 32, not quite half, and then the additional ones from Malaysia and Korea.
But give us, let me interject here. Give us some practical translation of what we're talking about here. Are these things like required surveillance of your movements and who you've been in contact with, required apps to be able to travel and things like that? Or what is this?
I'll keep it really simple. They don't, back in 2005, when they implemented these, the attitude was, well, it's not just good enough to, you know, have TSA pat you down at the border and stop you at the airport or the cruise ship or, you know, on a border crossing or something like that. Not that we stop anybody at a border crossing, but they decided that they wanted to have that control, not at the border, but inside the country, you know, thus all of the testing and everything. And they leave it to the individual nation to do their lockdowns, whether it's, you know, China style or, you know, not at all, like in Florida or Texas, maybe. And so the core of the regulations are surveillance within countries so that a country could report if there was a problem, right? Hmm. Now, the big problem coming either got leaked on purpose or leaked by accident, but you've probably reported, I believe you have, on at least one half of what the Indonesian health minister stated at the G20. He stated very clearly that they want to have a digital global quote-unquote health certificate, vaccine passport by any other name,
right,
into the, you know, international health / surveillance regulations. He said this coming May. Right now, that's totally doable from their perspective. They've got their schedule all structured, so that could happen. That's what I've been raising the flags about for months. In all of their official documents, even though they're getting this all ready now, they say, oh, well, we're just going to do that in 2024. Well, maybe they're telling the truth. But, you know, we need to stop it now, because why in the world would anybody have a vaccine certificate when there aren't any vaccines, and whatever it is they're injecting doesn't stop transmission, doesn't stop infection? What is that certifying other than you're compliant?
Well, that's it. This is global compliance with anything they want to put into a needle, whether it's, you know, even on the outside of possibilities, transhumanism injections or whatever it is, right? It could be anything, literally anything. They just call it a vaccine. So but this is global compliance. But clearly, and this is my question to you about this, clearly they intend to need such rules, right? I mean, they don't make frameworks that they don't ever imagine using, it seems.
Absolutely. And so to make this super crystal clear, we'll move on to the next topic. The international health regulations are existing. Back in 2005, we agreed, you know, George W. Bush agreed to them, you know, after 9/11 and the Patriot Act and the anthrax scare and all that sort of stuff, you know, they signed on to it. I just want people to realize you're going to have to study your constitution a little bit more closely, because it isn't what you think it is. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of agreements that the international community treats as being legally binding. Okay. And this is one of them. And so what is going on with the amendments to the regulations is it's a very slippery slope. It's like a bullet train. It could be adopted in May. Okay. They say 2024. Well, you know, be vigilant and, you know, don't let anything slip past you. They have not yet published anything. And believe me, you know, I'm keeping my eye out every day. As soon as I hear something, you know, you'll be on the list of people that I tell. We'll get that information out to people. In preparation for whatever they come up with, I have been working for almost 2 months now on the People's Amendments, thepeoplesamendments.com. And won't talk too much about that, other than I think most people, if they go and they read what's in there, they'll be like, yeah, if I was going to change international law, I would want these things. When they finally publish what they're doing, I firmly believe everybody's going to go, what? Are you out of your mind? Exactly. Okay. And so it's not good enough to say, no, we don't want to do what you guys want to do. You also have to say, no, look, this is what we want. This is what we demand. Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Well, you know, the pattern that we've all been observing here and living through to our horror is that every time there's some other global emergency, and the WHO was complicit in, you know, declaring this a quote pandemic and, you know, pushing vaccines and all these things, horrible decisions. But every time this happens, we lose a little bit of our national sovereignty, or a lot of it. And it seems like this is the slippery slope into just pure globalism, where individual countries, no matter who might be president or who might be in the Senate or and so on, have no power compared to the globalist dictates. And that's what Dr. Boyle told me as well. Would you agree with that assessment, that this is where we're sliding into very quickly?
Well, anybody who relies on their government officials to protect their sovereign rights doesn't understand what sovereignty means. You know, it's up to us to stand up for our rights against those government, you know, officials who think they have powers. And as long as we allow them, you know, to behave the way they've been behaving, they're going to keep doing it. Right. And so Professor Boyle has spoken, I know, with you and many others, about the pandemic treaty. Now, the pandemic treaty, as opposed to the bullet train of the amendments, is a big old freight train that they're loading up with absolutely everything. Okay. And it hasn't gotten up to the plateau yet. So it, you know, doesn't have a chance of getting a head of steam going downhill, but it is something that is mind blowing. So erase the blackboard of your mind, Mike, because I'm going to give you something that I don't think anybody's ever said about the treaty. In the talk, in the run-up over the last almost, well, it's actually been 2 years. They first started this 2 years ago. They keep saying they want to change the global health architecture, right? And that doesn't mean they want to build a new building, you know, in Geneva. What that means is, if you're familiar, and I'm sure you are, with, you know, the climate change accords and what they call the Conference of the Parties. They just had COP27. Right. They want to set up a whole nother bureaucracy. Okay. And so it isn't build back better. It's build a bigger bureaucracy. In the pandemic treaty, if you go to articles 19, 20 and on, they talk about having a conference of the parties. Now, what that means is it's sort of a bureaucracy to run whatever the treaty is. And anybody who signs on to the treaty, any nation who signs on to the treaty, would be one of the parties. And so if they get a minimum of 40 countries, and that could be the tiniest little nations in the world, all the, you know, little Pacific islands and everything else, then it would go into effect for the nations who are party to the treaty. They want to have a governing body that has two presidents and four vice presidents. And then they want that. To have, then they want to have.
Right. Crazy.
It's crazy. Then they want to have an extended COP, and COP doesn't mean policeman. It means conference of the parties, an e-COP. And, you know, it's all of the foundations and nonprofits and so forth. And so what they are trying to do is set up a massive bureaucracy. And here's the thing that most people who reported on the events of what happened at the G20 and the statement made by the Indonesian health minister missed the stuff that he said afterwards, which was, he's not a doctor. He's a banker. And he revealed that along with the World Health Organization, I'm sorry, with the World Bank and the Rockefeller Foundation and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Wellcome Trust and the U.S. and I think 18 other nations and then some more piled on, they've created a FIF. And, you know, what the hell's a FIF, right? It's a financial intermediary fund, right? Intermediary, middleman, right? Somebody's in the middle of this money, right? So the World Bank set up a fund, and he's a banker, and he was just so proud that they've already got pledged $1.4 billion a year for this fund. They want to get it up to $10 billion a year. And he, quite frankly, simply said, this is a fantastic investment opportunity. And essentially what he's signaling to the crowd, which was a bunch of business people, get investing in the companies that are going to make stuff that we're going to fund. And that, you know, essentially what they want is they want more investment in pharma. Now, right. There's a phrase you may be familiar with. It actually comes from, we're talking about the treaty, but it comes from the international health regulations. Tedros can declare a public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, or a FAIC. Well, I'm taking back the language. And PHEIC in my world stands for the Pharmaceutical Hospital Emergency Industrial Complex, PHEIC.
Love it.
Pharmaceutical Hospital Emergency Industrial Complex. That's the ticket, people. They want to grow the fake, the pharmaceutical industry in all of the smaller nations. So my personal opinion, and everything I've said so far, I believe is fact and can be backed up. And so I'm going to venture into opinion land here. I don't believe that when the Biden administration's amendments were kicked to the curb in this past May, you know, he got basically nothing. It wasn't for the right reasons. I think what happened is the smaller nations saw these amendments, and what they saw was all stick. And they said, well, where's the carrot? What's in it for us? You want to have all of these requirements and all these rules, and you know, you want to make us do all these things. Well, you're going to have to pay for it. Okay. And so the money is starting to flow. They want to set up an entire structure that what most people don't realize. And this was a mind blower for me, actually, when you come to see it, the assessed payments for the United States on a yearly basis to the WHO is, and I know this sounds weird, but it's only $100 million. Their yearly budget is $4 billion. They want this new organization to have $10 billion a year. It's like 2.5 times bigger than the entire WHO. And it's all about pandemic preparedness. Like, what are they going to do?
What you're describing sounds to me like a giant global pharmaceutical money laundering operation where they put this layer of what you're calling the pharmaceutical industrial complex. They create all this pandemic nonsense, but expand it to third world countries that so far haven't yet been sufficiently looted by the pharmaceutical industrial complex, right? I mean, they've looted Western nations quite effectively over the last couple of years, but they haven't yet looted Africa and Central America and the Middle East and so on. That's what it sounds like to me. Is it? Am I off the mark or on the mark with that?
You're spot on. I would just add loot and poison.
Loot and poison. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And the delegates and everyone from those nations, they keep demanding equity. Okay. Now don't get triggered on the word. Okay. They keep demanding equity. Now, I can almost guarantee that the vast majority of your audience just, oh, equity, right? Well, wait a minute. What does equity really mean? Okay. Oh, you bought a house and you paid down some of the mortgage. You have equity. Equity is money. When it's code, people, it doesn't mean they want fairness and racial balance and all that sort of fun stuff. Okay. When they say they want equity, it means they want money. That's what equity is. Okay. It's not equality. You know, if you have equity in your home, and you have money. And so they basically said, no, we don't want your Biden amendments back in May because it's just telling us what to do. If you're going to tell us what to do, you're going to have to give us a lot of money. And so if all the manufacturing is coming, you know, home to Africa or smaller, you know, island nations or wherever, there's a much closer opportunity for corruption and graft and money laundering and, you know, sweetheart contracts and, you know, great jobs and positions where you make a lot of money for doing next to nothing and boards of directors and, you know, right. Corporate executive and all that kind of thing. You know, they're not stupid. They're very smart, very savvy, good horse trading, you know, negotiating, not for their people, for the health of their people, because there's not a doctor listed. I did a word scan on the document. It never says the word doctor. It doesn't say nutrition. It doesn't say vitamins or herbs or even essential medications or early treatment.
Or the word natural. I saw that on your list. Doesn't say natural, does it? In fact,
now, if I did a word scan on your website, you know, and you know, natural everywhere, right?
Right.
It's like health everywhere, you know, treatment everywhere.
But here's I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is really relevant. So most of the population of the world still uses complementary medicine or indigenous medicine in most areas. So what you are describing, this system looks like it's also designed because there's a very strong component of policing, quote, misinformation and disinformation in all of this, right? So that's designed, in my view, to essentially outlaw or suppress any discussion of herbal medicine, natural medicine, complementary medicine, which is what has been affordable to 80% of the world. And then to outlaw all that, force people to only talk about pharmaceuticals and vaccines and similar interventions, and then boom, the global pharmaceutical cartel just starts raking in money off the world's poor, whom they're also killing and making infertile in the process.
Well, they haven't been killing and making them infertile quite to the same pace that the more wealthy nations have been doing. And, you know, they put it under this guise of, hey, you know, Canada bought enough to jab everybody in Canada 10 times, and the EU bought that many, and the United States has bought, you know, Israel. Hey, you guys are getting all the jabs. We want some of the jabs, okay? But that really isn't what they want. They really want the money to manufacture the drugs and, you know, jab their people that way.
But thanks for listening. Everybody take care.